Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of We Got Next here on MMAfighting.com, the very first edition of the show in 2022. Thanks for having us on. I am Mike Heck. Hope you're all having a great start to this new year. And we have quite the show for you this week. We have two great interviews. We also have two great interviews for next week as well, which I will let you know about at the end of the program. But I'm going to make this open very short, because my 8-year-old son decided to have a friend over today after school, which is great. But they decided, you know what, we're not going to actually converse like normal people. We're just going to scream at each other back and forth, different sides of the house. So I'm just going to record this very quickly, and then we'll get to the conversations. But it's just been a wild day since my kid went back to school. We're recording this on Wednesday, so let's get to this. Later on, we're going to talk to Brandon Royval. He is getting ready to return to the Octagon next Saturday, January 15th, the promotion's first card of 2022. He's taking on Rogerio Bonsarin. What a start he had to his UFC career. Jumps in to face Tim Elliott on super short notice back in May of 2020. Wins via submission in just an absolutely bananas fight. Then 4 months later, he fights Kai Kara France at UFC 253 on Fight Island. That was the card headlined by Israel Adesanya and Paulo Costa. Another insane, wild, crazy fight. And submits Kai Kara France in the second round of that fight. 2 months later, he's back again, and he fights Brandon Moreno at UFC 255, which turned out to be a fight that, had he won, he probably would have fought Davison Figueroa for the UFC flyweight title the next month. Unfortunately, he did not win that fight. Brandon Moreno won that fight. He became the champion. Came back, had some surgery, returned in August of last year, and was submitted by Alexander Pantoja. So, very unfamiliar territory for Brandon Royval, entering a fight on not just a loss, but a losing streak. This is the first time this has ever happened in his career, and the different sort of psychological and mental approach to this fight is really fascinating. And I feel like conversations with Brandon Royval when it comes to the actual psychology of being a professional fighter, it comes out in big ways. It's almost like we get on this little trend and he just kind of like empties his soul when it comes to like the psychology of being a fighter. It's really fascinating stuff. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a little bit. But speaking of fascinating, Cheyenne Velismus, what a year she had in 2021. It is a new year. She has a lot of momentum right now. She lost her Octagon debut. She won her last two fights after earning a contract on Dana White's Contender Series. There's a lot of hype around her. Obviously, there's There's the name change. A lot of questions about that. It's nobody's business really, but it's just, this conversation is really interesting because I was happy that she ended the year the way that she did, but I feel really bad for her. And you're going to hear why, because there are a lot of unanswered questions here. And I honestly, when this is over, I just kind of sat and thought to myself, like, man, imagine going through what she's going through. And we don't even really know exactly what she's going through. So it's just crazy. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, you will hear that conversation in its entirety. It's about 20 minutes with Cheyenne Velizmus from a location that is unknown. And it's just really interesting. So you'll hear that conversation coming up next on We Got Next.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, let us say hello to Cheyenne Velizmus, one of the exciting prospects in the UFC strawweight division. Ended 2021 with back-to-back wins, including a dominant unanimous decision win over Mallory Martin at UFC Vegas 44 in December. Cheyenne, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you, and Merry Christmas. A little late, but I'm doing good. Thank you.
So when we were chatting yesterday, you were telling me you were out of the country. So I'm curious, where are you at right now? Where are you beginning this new year?
So no one knows where I'm at. I'm actually keeping it that way. A lot of things happened before my fight and even after my fight. And I decided, you know, what's best than to just escape, you know? And I've been gone now for 2 weeks and I love it. I'm overseas and I'm just living my life.
Mystery location. I dig it. What a way to start off the year. And you sort of touched on it, because 2021 was a roller coaster, for you to say the least. And I think that's fair to say, from what you experienced in the octagon, out of the octagon, some raw emotion showed when you got that performance of the night bonus, when you got the finish in July. Can you even put 2021 into words? Because when people talk about growing as fighters and as people, I feel like you grew about as much as anybody in the fight game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, only thing I hated was the first time you guys saw me in 2021 for my debut was March 20th, which that was a terrible camp. It was a great camp, but got injured right before the fight, 10 days out, got very badly injured, needed surgery, took the fight still, had a quick opponent change, got embarrassed in my debut. You know, I couldn't do anything, got the surgery, got back into fight camp, got a good fight, getting a divorce. it's been a roller coaster, to say the least, but in a way, 2021 was a blessing. And for me, I just, as much as raw emotion as you guys saw a lot of growth in me as not just a fighter, but also as a woman. So I enjoyed 2021, even though it was a roller coaster of emotions.
What would you attribute that growth to? Because there's probably a lot of pressure on you coming off the Contender Series. The hopes were quite high for you. You lost, like very you said, high. The tough one in your debut. And you've been quite vocal about, you know, having struggles financially, trying to make this dream a reality, not to mention the things going on in your personal life, like you just mentioned, the divorce and everything. I mean, at 26 years of age, you went through about a career's worth of adversity. So like, how would you explain this growth? Can you even do that?
Yeah, it's all about how you handle it, you know? After my debut, it was like the most embarrassing debut anyone could really have. And since that debut, you know, when you perform at the worst of the worst that you know for yourself, it depends on like how you want to go from there. I can either have gone home and cried about it, or I could have gone home and done something about it. I went home and I was like, listen, I cannot let the world see me as this type of person, you know, like when you're in the public eye, you have people are like not counting on you, but like I had a lot of people thinking I was going to do well. And for me, I took it really tough. I took it where I was like, I just wanted to hide away, train super hard, you know, getting surgery too. I had to get surgery. Actually, about the surgery after my debut. So going into the debut, I said I was injured. Very badly injured. I couldn't even do anything. I couldn't train. I couldn't do nothing. All I could do was run. And I knew I needed surgery. Went into the debut, got embarrassed, got disrespected. Then after, the doctor was like, listen, you need to get full reconstruction surgery. You'll be out for at least a year of just recovery. And I looked at that doctor and I was like, there is no way I am going to sit on the sidelines after getting embarrassed and ragdolled in front of millions of people. And I was like, that's just not happening. And I think that was like my motivation for the rest of the year, you know, when a doctor, and I went to multiple doctors, the UFC sent me to three different doctors, because the first one was like, listen, all I'll do is you need reconstruction surgery. I was like, nope, not happening. Second one, reconstruction surgery. Third one was like, okay, listen, you do need reconstruction surgery, but we can do the minor surgery. And if it works out, then it works out. If it doesn't, then we have to do the reconstruction. Took a risk with the small surgery, and honestly, it was the best decision I've ever made. I was able to go on a war path, being 2-0. Going 2-0 the last two, and I would say it's all about this mind. You know, mind is key, because honestly, everyone's good in the cage. I mean, anytime you fight someone, we're all gonna be good. We're all gonna be tough. Everyone's gonna hit hard. Everyone wants to hurt you. But it's like a chess game in there. It's like, if you can just win in your mind, you can win in reality.
Toughest year of your life to this point? I know it's a blessing, but overall, toughest year of your life, would you say? Because I know, I mean, in school, you're getting bullied a lot. I mean, yeah, by far.
Yeah, that was little kid stuff, though. But this, right. By far, yeah, by far the toughest year of my life. But, you know, you hit a point where all you can do is laugh about it, you know? And I'm living my life and I'm super happy now. Like, you know, I got away. Don't know if I want to come back, but yeah, I'm happy now. I mean, thank goodness I finished the year. I was just super blessed. I've been able to fight, by the way, like getting COVID right before 10 days out before my fight with Loma, I got COVID and it attacked my lungs so bad. Couldn't breathe really. And, I was just blessed that I was able to pull myself together and fight before the end of the year. So finished off strong.
Have you been able to train in said mystery location?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I've been training all the time. Like, I just don't post about it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, Fair enough.
I'm training and it's tough. It's tough. You know, no one understands me here, but I make it work. I make it work. I just look at the instructors. I see what they do. And I'm like, yes. Okay. Got it.
You can tell me to kick rocks if you want after I ask this question, but is there a reason why you escaped to where you're at? Like, was there like a tipping point where you're like, I got to get the hell out of here? Are you allowed to talk about that?
Ah,
I lost you.
Sorry. Okay. Yes, there is a reason why I picked this location. I don't really want to talk about why I picked this location, but I'm also traveling to other locations. I picked this location for a certain reason. I'm on the water, which is my favorite thing to do. I love the sea. I love the ocean. And I'm from Florida. So anytime there's body of water nearby, it's very peaceful for me. And yeah, and where I'm at, I'm able to go to other countries and, you know, it's cheap. So, you know, spend your money wisely. But yeah, there's a reason why I picked this place, but I've been traveling to like nearby areas.
Okay. So this is more of an exploration thing than anything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to like the fighting stuff. I personally thought your performance against Mallory Martin was the best of your career. I know knockouts and finishes steal the headlines for the most part, but to me, that was the one that sent the message to the division that you're coming and you can go hard for 15 minutes and you're just a tough out right now. Do you feel the same way, or do you feel like the finish of Gloria DePaula stands out more to you?
No, I didn't even like the finish of Gloria DePaula because I wanted people to see me for 15 minutes. And when I fought Mallory, I went in there and I was like, I am just going to beat her up for 15 minutes and I'm going to show everyone who I am. And I felt like I showed everyone who I was. And I felt like I showed everyone Cheyenne Velismus. And I don't feel like that fight even gets enough credit, if I'm being honest. I feel like even after the fight, Mallory put her hands up as if she won. And I just looked at that girl, I was like, put your hands down, girl. I'm like, you did not beat me. And I was not going home a loser that night. And I like her. So I didn't, I didn't say it. But in my head, I was like, put them down. I was like, you did not win this fight. I was actually like so confused as to why she put her hands up, because I knew I was performing at my best. And I even went over to my coach and I was like, this girl thinks she won. Did she win? I even asked him, I was like, did she win? I was like, no way. And I was like, you know, because like right after a fight, your mind is so like everywhere. And he was like, no, she didn't win at all. And I was like, that's what I thought. And I was like, why is she acting like this? But he's like, don't worry about it. And I was like, all right, I won't.
How did you react to getting Fight of the Night on that card? Because there were some freaking bangers on that card, but the promotion went with you and Mallory. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was. I was texting one of my friends and I was like, as soon as the fight was over, I was like, it's a potential 50K fight. It's a potential. And I think what made it a potential was obviously it was a little bit of back and forth, but when I looked at the numbers, I almost doubled her numbers in strikes. And, but I think me speaking helped. I don't know because Jose Aldo, I heard his was a great fight. I know there wasn't many decisions that night. I know there was a lot of finishes, but I know Jose Aldo being the main event, I was like, if he goes to a decision and it's a good fight, I was like, he's for sure getting it. And when I saw that he went the distance, him and Rob Font, I was like, oh, for sure they'll get it. No doubt. I was like, they deserve it. They deserve it too. You know, next thing you know, and I'm sitting down with my friends eating dinner, and next thing you know it, I got a text message from some fan. I don't even know who it was. And he was the first one to tell me, he's like, congrats, you got fight of the night. And I was just like screaming. I was just like crying. Cause I was just like, there's no way I got fight of the night. I was like, there's no way I got another 50K bonus. And it was a blessing. And honestly, the fight before when I got the bonus, that saved me. And honestly, this fight, the bonus saved me for a lot of reasons too. So it's a blessing. I'm very grateful because I don't know how I got the bonus. I don't know. I'm going to guess maybe because I talked a little bit and it was a good fight. Like, I know it was a good fight, but I don't know. I still can't get over, because I read the comments saying that it was Jose Aldo should have gotten the fight of the night, but I'm not going to ask no questions because I'm grateful.
Got enough bonuses, right? I mean, they've right. gotten bonuses for decades, and it was good. I was happy for the both of you, because I'm sure Mallory, I'm sure that's kind of softened the blow for Mallory too, because that was a tough fight for her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, 2021 also. Right, exactly, and yes, and for yourself as well. Yeah. I mean, one real positive thing I thought that came out of 2021 for you was you surrounded yourself with this like army of badass women at Extreme Couture, like yourself, Casey O'Neill, who was the MMA Fighting Rookie of the Year for 2021. Obviously, you know, Misha's there, and you know, even the Serena DeJesus's of the world is there, and many others. There's a ton of them that are at that gym right now. That was one change you made over the last year plus, the move to Vegas full time. How much has that decision helped you, not just for like obviously the change of scenery, but being surrounded by some of the fellow women fighters that encompass that gym?
Well, you know, when I left Vegas 3 years ago, I never really wanted to leave. You know, I was heartbroken. I did it, but then when I moved back to the States, I wanted to go back to Extreme. But unfortunately, I couldn't, and I had to go to Texas, and I had to do what I had to do. But finally, after when I was able to, I wasn't even financially able to move back to Vegas, but finally just got up and moved and was like, I don't care what people say, like, I'm going back to Vegas, like, that's where I need to be. It was a big game changer, I would say, being back with my old coach, Dennis Davis, that was very nice. But you know, I don't know what the future lies for me. Cannot lie. I don't know what the future lies ahead of me. I'm kind of unsure of things right now. That's why I'm away. but yeah, XE, the girls there, they're all amazing. I have nothing bad to ever say about those girls. We all push each other super hard. It's a nice feeling being on the same mat with high level girls like that. You know, I don't even get to train with guys anymore, which I used to only train with guys. Like, all I knew is training with guys. And when you train with high level females like that, it's completely different. It's a different body type. It's a different strength. It's like I get to experience being in the cage with girls I'm going to fight every single day. So it's awesome.
Your last things. I know I don't have a ton of time with you, but I am curious about this, because for those who have been following you on Instagram, you have also started a little bit of a side hustle, but a good one, where you're helping others become the healthiest version of themselves. And I feel like you're, like, at least right now, considering this conversation, you're like the perfect sort of mentor for that, due to the, like, excuses that people can come up with, because you've had life kick you in the ass. You've come through, you've won fights, and you've stayed motivated, and you've done the damn thing. How did this come to be? Like, you guiding these folks to find health and some extra happiness along the way as well?
Yeah, so my friends actually run this company called Built Athletics, and I teamed up with them. And basically what we do is we coach everything online. They have their own app. Everything is 24/7. They get personalized programs for them, personalized training programs for them, tips for food. Like, everything is designed for these people. And that is something I absolutely love, because especially since quarantine and this whole COVID thing, I feel like the news and people, they don't realize, like, nobody is posting about health, for one. You know, everyone just says, get your vaccine. You know, for me, it's like, health is the most important thing in this world. And I feel like people don't boost it enough, you know. And so for me to be able to help people achieve their goals, that it's a nice feeling, because even for me, I need a coach. You know, and every great has a coach. So to help people and be their coach, it's been awesome. And anyone who's listening, if you guys want to sign up for my team, go and check out my Instagram and check out Built Athletics on Instagram. But yeah, it's an awesome company I'm with. And again, we're changing a lot of people's lives with it. And it's only growing too. And I hope I can get more clients, because it's great seeing these progress photos that people send, these people sending me messages every single day, just telling me how much it's helping them. And it's nice. So I like it.
Has there been like one transformation that stuck out where you're just like, holy smokes, like, this is unbelievable?
Yeah. So I've been with the company since end of August. So it's been September, 4 months now. And I'm seeing good progress photos right now. Like, there hasn't been one that I can like name, but there's been some where I look at them and I'm like, they're working hard. And there's some where you can see where they're not consistent, but you can see it's slow progress. And honestly, any progress is good progress. So as long as people are making progress, I'll be happy.
Absolutely. I don't even know if you can answer this question, because everything just seems like such a mystery right now, but if it were up to you, when would you like to fight again? Like, when would you want to get back in the octagon if you had your druthers and you had a say in the matter?
So, I mean, unfortunately, I would love to fight again soon, but because of reasonings on beyond belief, I cannot fight and I cannot make any more money until I finalize some things in my life. And I don't know when that will be. I'm trying to make it soon, but again, I don't have an answer. I'm hoping by summer. I'm praying by summer. So that's what I'm going to shoot for.
And so, I mean, how do you even like goal set for 2022 with all this unknown? Can you even do it, or like just do like little things? Like, how does that work?
Right now, I just take it day by day. That, you know, I don't know. I have no answers for anything. If it was me, I would love to fight, but unfortunately, I am told I cannot. I was actually not even supposed to fight my last fight. I was asked not to by some high up people. They told me, please do not take this fight. You know, and I told everybody, I was like, I told even like my family didn't want me to fight. Like, well, one, for being sick, and two, for other reasons that I can't speak about. But yeah, no one wanted me to fight at all. So the fact that I got to finish off 2021 with a fight and winning and proving to people, you know what I mean? Just giving them that little, like I did it, and to my, more for myself. It was a good feeling, but as far as 2022, you'll see me, but I have no answers. And honestly, it makes me want to cry how I have no answers for anything. So, yeah, but I'll be back. I'll be back soon. I hope. I'm hoping summertime.
Well, I'm sorry you're going through all of this right now. I mean, you did get a bonus too, so that was a nice little cherry on top. I guess some positivity to find with this whole thing. So
big cherry, because I don't know when I'll.
Damn. I mean, I really feel terrible for you. I hope everything turns around for you. I hope we do get to see you fight in the summertime, because I mean, as cool as it is to travel and explore the world, like, I know you want to be in that cage doing the damn thing. You've shown such great improvement. You want to keep that thing going. So I appreciate you sharing what you could with us. 2021 ended professionally great for you, and I hope the rest of the stuff kind of turns around for you in 2022. So thank you for being as open as you can with this whole thing. Congratulations on the big win over Mallory Martin, and enjoy your world exploration right now. You deserve some you time for sure.
Thank you. It's been a fun ride being away and learning from different instructors and learning from others in the world. And it's been refreshing. It's been very refreshing. So thank you.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yeah. Yep. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let us say hello once again to Brandon Royval. He is back inside the Octagon January 15th, the UFC's first event of 2022, taking on Rogério Bontorin. What a fight that's going to be. Brandon, it's been a minute, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we were talking a little bit before we hit record about what life is like when you take a fight right around the holiday season, and you're in the middle of that right now. So explain to me what it is like to be preparing for a fight in the middle of Christmas and New Year's and all those other holidays.
I have a pretty big family, so like I'm always like running around. I always have to be like buy a bunch of Christmas presents, but I'm like last minute about everything. So I just put a lot of I don't know. I put it on myself, but just now I was in the doctors. I was in there for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, just waiting inside the doctors. But everybody's sick from COVID from the holidays too, is people get together and I think, you know, it spread around a little bit. And I just feel like the doctor's office was just slammed shut today, man. It sucked. So sorry about being a little bit late, but yeah, it's been a little chaotic. The holidays times is also just like the food, man. There's such an emphasis on food during every holiday season. That's like, oh man, I'm gonna have to murder Bontrine because of it. Figured I'd be speaking.
Take the feeding frenzy out on him, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, yeah, bro. Mexican food, like a Mexican family, and I'm missing out on chili, tamales for, oh my God, damn, bro. I'm mad.
So outside of that, like I don't want to like put these thoughts in your head right now when you're getting ready to cut some weight in a week and a half, but like, what is a typical like Christmas dinner look like in the Royval family household?
Well, it's pretty much like a potluck. So you get like ham and crap that other people get, but like they bring a lot of like chili. We had chili rellenos, tamales. Oh man, I was just missing it all. Beans, rice, all of the above, you know, and like, I mean, I could have some of the stuff, and like I ate a lot of like just like the meats and stuff, but I don't know. I missed out on a lot too. I was pissed. And everybody's like, here, Hito, just wait in my face. And I'm just like, I can't right now. She's like, hey, I made your cookie. Oh, my Auntie Nick's cookies. And she's like, I made your favorite cookies. And I'm like, I can't eat that at all right now. But oh man, I'm gonna have to hit them all up for it afterwards.
There you go. Tell them to remake it. Just do a second Christmas dinner.
Oh yeah, second Christmas. Christmas dinner, honestly, is all I really want.
There you go. I think that's a fair compromise right there. So I think the new year probably came at the right time for you. You know, 2021 was kind of a rough year for you. I know you had to deal with the surgery. You were out for quite some time, and then the loss to Pantoja after the loss to Moreno. I feel like the last time we spoke, it was right before the Moreno fight. It was on Fight Island. Like, I felt like that fight came together very quickly after the win over Kai Kara France, but I feel like 2021 couldn't end fast enough for you. Is that accurate?
Yeah, a little bit. I wanted to get like a quick comeback fight. And I mean, being in the division that we're in, McMaynard's super organized about everything. So it's a little bit further out than I ever wanted to. I wanted to end 2020 strong, but our 2021 strong, but you know, this is actually a good year to just make my year. And like, yeah, but you're right. As soon as 2021 was over, I was like, kiss this one goodbye. 2020 was awesome. 2021, definitely a lot of waiting around and a lot of just kind of growing the mind state more than anything. And then right now, just kind of picking back up where I left off, you know.
How so? What about the mindsets? Have you grown the most with? Like, what changes have you made?
You see me fight. I'm a little bit of ball stress. I'm a little bit of chaotic. I'm a little bit all over the place. I'll give myself one thing is I work really hard, but I feel like I don't have as much focus work, you know? And I think that was just kind of the emphasis on this camp is just being focused, you know, and just not being focused in the sense of like partying and stuff going on around me, but being focused on like, when I show up to the gym, I don't need to go, or like on a Sunday or Saturday, I don't need to go run 12 miles or whatever it is to just ease my anxiety, like working on very specific things and little detailed things and making that a point to work on throughout the day, I think was like a little bit of it. And I think that's how growth happens throughout me too, is like, I think I deal with like, oh, I have a fight, I better do a million things. And it's like, no, I just got to do one thing. You know, I got to work on one thing and stay focused on that one thing. And like, it's a lot easier on my body, honestly, but it's also just like a lot easier on my mind. I'm learning a lot better. And I don't know. And like, that's a little bit that happens in my fight too, is I'm like, oh, I need to get busy. You know, I need to get busy. Like we're fighting, I need to go out there and be busy. And I'm doing a lot more busy work than I need to do. You know, I could dial it back way more and just be a little bit more focused and land, I don't know, the better shots compared to just landing 100 shots, you know, or just trying to land as many shots as possible. So it's weird. It was weird. Coach Mark, I'll credit Coach Mark to this. Yeah. It was like a weird day. I was telling him, I was like, I want to work on my balance for this fight. And I really do. I want to work on like just being more balanced of a fighter, not just like mentally, which I do, but like literally balanced. And he was telling me, he's like, all right, cool. And then he had me walk around the edge of the gym. I'm gonna butcher all what he said. Like it was like this cool like metaphoric moment. We had me walk around the edge of the gym, and like the gym perimeter. And I'm walking on the perimeter the whole entire time. And I reach the end, and like right when I'm reaching toward the end, I'm staying kind of focused, you know. And then like I'm getting towards the end, and then I'm like, we're almost there. And I'm just like rushing the end, you know. And kind of falling off, and that's when I'd mess up the most. And like, I'd mess up in just like little parts where I would get unfocused, but then always at the end, I'd rush. And he goes, you need to stay focused one step at a time, especially when we're getting close to the finish. Cause he goes the same thing in the Pantoja fight is you're close to the end. You almost have this guy out of here. And it's like, you're rushing it to get him out of there instead of taking one step at a time. And then you mess everything. You're dropping the ball at the very end right here. And it's like, it was a weird thing. And I don't think he meant for it to be all this metaphorical thing, or maybe he did have this foresight and he had some Yoda mindset going into that day. But it was one of those weird things that he could kind of metaphorically break down like a physical problem that I was having and a mental problem I was having and all that stuff. And it was a cool moment, but it was also just like an eye-opening moment on like, damn, like this has kind of been a continuous problem, not only in my career, but in my life. You know, it's just, I'm kind of rushing things and I don't need to rush things. I can just enjoy the moment. If you sit back and watch Adesanya fight, that guy's not worried about finishing the fight the whole entire time. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting back and just enjoying. Like, I have really good cardio. And I think part of like having good cardio, I felt like I needed to push it, you know, where it's like marinate a fight, fight 20 minutes, fight 15 minutes. I mean, fight the whole entire fight. You know, I don't need to go out there and rush a finish. You know, I don't need to go out there and do all this panic busy work. Cause I'm a skilled enough fighter that I can get the job done in other ways, you know, than just making it ugly.
You're like, you've always been, and I mean this as a compliment, you've always been a maniac in there, like in the cage, like, and you've always like prided yourself on being a maniac, like being chaotic and being like almost like car accident-y, like you're just ready for everything, blah, blah, blah. Like that's how you always fought, and you always prided yourself on that. Like, what is it like, has it been difficult to really get to this place you're at right now? I mean, it's the foresight that you and your coach have obviously is great, and I feel like it's come at the right time, but this just seems, for you, it's just different. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably a little freeing for you to realize that and kind of focus on that. But you know, what has that been like to realize that and work on that? Has it been kind of stressful at all, like, for you?
It's been really stressful. Like for me, man, I'm such a busy work type of person that like, I feel like, I don't know, like having focus work so like so different, but, yeah, man, I'm not going to change what makes me great. And what makes me great is just like being in the chaos. I'm one of the better people in the mix of the chaos. I believe that to the fullest. And it's like, I need to create chaotic moments, but it's like my whole fight doesn't need to be a chaotic moment. My whole fight doesn't need to be me and Pantoja crashing into each other left and right. And just being chaotic, where it's like, I can be a little bit more methodical than that, you know? And like, I don't need to be much more methodical than that, because what makes me great is being a psychopath, you know, but also is just like, have a little bit more control than that, you know, have a little bit of control of the moment. I can make this more chaotic when I need it to be chaotic. And when it is chaotic, I'll thrive there. I know I'll do good there. And it's like, but also what's going to make me great is just dialing it back every once in a while. I'm like, okay, let's pick. Okay. Chaos. Pick chaos. Okay. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know, just being well-rounded altogether. And yeah, it's hard for me. And like, I feel like I'm a little bit of a vengeful person. So it's like, as soon as I get punched in the face, I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. And it's like, it's go time, you know? So changing that mind state. And like, I actually have really good corners that are like cornering me too. Is like yesterday I got punched and I started to walk someone down and like, are we being smart right now? And I'm like, oh yeah, good call. Like, I should dial it back and just think methodically, you know? It's like, I don't need to give up a round or do something crazy because I got hit one time or whatever it is, you know? So just trying to be better all around, you know? And like, it's so funny how fighting translates. And like, this is, I think, something that's always resonated with me, is just how fighting translates to life, you know? And it's like slowing everything down in life and just being more focused on a daily basis on what I need to do on a specific goal. And, you know, that'll help me be a better man in the long run and life after fighting, right?
Mark Montoya told you, if Mark Montoya called you tonight and said, Brandon, here's the lesson for tomorrow, do nothing. Like, sit around and do nothing and just like relax and just keep your mind free. Like, stay at home, just chill out. Could you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I could do that. Like, I don't know, man, that'd be hard. But for a coach, Mark, like, I'm trained to run through walls no matter what, you know, whatever he says is word, you know? So yeah, I would do that. I would assume that he sees something that I have probably had a messed up practice today. And he's like, this guy needs to chill a little bit. And yeah. So yeah, I would do that for sure. And just try to, but I would definitely not just do nothing. You know, I would be watching fights and doing a bunch of shit, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I do it. Yes, I do it.
I think you would try. I think you would do the best you could. I think you would just, yeah. I think you'd pace around a lot. I think you would watch fights and just walk around the room. Like that. Yeah, that's how you would do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think I'm a soldier. I just take commands, you know, but who knows?
It's tough, man. So who's going to be corner? Like, obviously Mark's going to be there. Who else going to be there? Is Yusuf going to be in your corner screaming so everybody can hear?
No, but I need to bring Yusuf one of these days. I'm bringing one of my main training partners, Clay Matza. And, you know, I think I talk to you about like pretty much every time we do a thing is just, he's my main training partner as far as like, he gives me a great look, man. He's been Bontorin, he's been Pantoja. He was doing the Moreno, like the whole entire look, you know what I'm saying? You know how he does that when he fights? He's like, yeah, he was doing the whole entire thing, man. It was great. I don't know. He does a great, like not only a great, like he's just a great IQ wise, but impersonation wise, good look wise, all that stuff. He knows the game plan from A to B to C, you know? So it's perfect, man. And then I have a boxing coach coming out with me named Kenny Hale. I'm working with the boxing coach this camp. So we'll see how that goes, man. See if I can show off the best boxer in the UFC.
Look at all these changes you're making.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then it's just something I've always wanted to do too, is I want to work with specialists, you know, I want to work with like a specialist jujitsu person. And I got to do a lot of that this camp too, is just work with like a world-class jujitsu guy. And that was cool. And then work with world-class boxing person. And just, you know, now that I have like a chance to be an MMA fighter, I can do it to the fullest, you know, and geek out over this stuff. So it's been awesome.
I was just going to say, because it was such a big deal when you made your UFC debut and you put in your notice, like that was such a big story. Right. And yeah. I feel like sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, but do it more than I was doing it before, like spend more time doing it. But it's almost like, and I know you're not alone on this, some fighters just kind of take that for granted, like not meaning to, but you just do more of what you were doing. But now you're realizing like, listen, I'm a full-time fighter. I could work with a jujitsu specialist. I could work with a boxing specialist. I could work with a kickboxing specialist. You could integrate into so many different ways. So, I mean, how has that been heading into this camp? Like knowing that, you know, you don't have to take this for granted anymore. You could do whatever the hell you want, essentially, because you could be a fighter all the time.
Yeah, man. And that was like my number one goal, my number one dream is just to train full time. And that's what I wanted to. I was like, I want to train some world-class black belts. I want to train some like boxing people. I want to go do some kickboxing with some amazing people, you know, all of that. But yeah, man, it's just like, it really is just a dream come true, man. And that's exactly what I was thinking too. And what you were saying, it's exactly what I was doing, is I just got really busy. I was like, oh my God, I got this extra time. I better just shadow box more. I better run more. I better put in more miles and all that. And it's like, that's not what I need to be doing. I need to gain skill. I need to gain knowledge. You know, I need to gain all this. And it's like, sure. I'm young enough where I can crash my body, but it's like, I don't necessarily need to. And I think that's been a good lesson learned from some of these greats out here, Max Holloway, Usman, all that stuff, where it's like, they're gaining this knowledge without completely obliterating their body, you know? And, I feel like I'm one of those people who are like, let's go 100 miles an hour. I'll do, you know, whatever. And then it's like, I'll crash my body. But it's like, okay, I got 100 different reps of 100 different things, you know? And it's like, that was dumb, you know? It was pointless of a day, you know? So, yeah, man. It's just all around just taking this whole entire life for granted not taking this life for granted, I mean.
When people ask me about memorable conversations I've had in my career, obviously there's some of the bigger names that come up, but I always go back to something you and I talked about, how I asked you what you felt heading into certain fights. It might have been before the debut or maybe after the debut against Tim Elliott. And you said something like, right before you're about to walk out, I hate this effing sport. I hate it. And it's like you have all this anxiety that kind of just runs through you before you actually get into the cage. So I'm curious, you before the Kai Kara-France fight, you told me that you felt like it got a little bit better. It wasn't as bad as it was maybe heading into the other fight. What was that like before the Moreno fight and before the Pantoja fight? Like, what were the feelings like when you were getting ready to walk?
I felt like before the Moreno fight, I felt like there was no pressure. You know, the Moreno was nice because I was like, I'm coming in here last minute. I'm fighting the number one contender. I don't think anybody thinks I'm going to win this fight. I knew, and maybe you knew, I wasn't really able to train for that camp. So it was just like, fuck, man, I've gotten this far without training in this UFC. So it's like, let's see what the fuck happens, you know? And it's like, I don't know. It was more of just like, all right, let's see what happens. with the Pantoja fight, I think the Pantoja fight was like almost clearly the opposite of like, I went in there pretty calm, but I think I put a lot of pressure on myself and I put a lot of pressure on myself for that fight. And it was like, I worked my ass off for that camp and like, I did a lot to get better at that camp. And it was like, oh man, it disappoints me to this day thinking about it, but it's just like, I don't know for that fight. I just felt like maybe just like one of those, like, fuck man, I hate this. Like, this is one of those crazy moments that I'm like, and then Pantoja's like, you know, you're going to like, it's going to be same, a little bit of the same with Bontorin. I think Bontorin's a little more calm, but I knew Pantoja was going to be a ball of chaos the first 2 minutes or two rounds, at least, you know, where he's coming at me 100% throwing nothing but bombs and just, you know, I just knew I was in for a fight. And it's like, once you have that going through your head, you know, like when I fight these wrestlers, when I fight some dude I know is going to try to grapple me this whole fight, I'm like, good luck. I'm the dangerous one here. You know, like, good luck trying to negate my game plan and running into knees, elbows, chokes. I'm trying to break your arm, all the above. And it's like, good luck. But it's like, when I have another killer across that arena and I'm looking at him, I'm like, this is going to be fucking crazy, you know? And it's like, and then I know my game plan too, especially at that time, was like, I want to get fight of the night, you know? I wanted to get fight of the night. I wanted to get bonuses. And I like, that specifically was on my mind for that fight too. So I knew what I was about to do. I knew what, I'm pretty sure what Pantoja was about to do. So it was like entering that moment was just like, fuck. And then also knowing it's going to be a title contender fight is also scary too. And it was just a lot of pressure. And I felt like it was one of those moments where I like it and I like going into those fights and I like having these moments in my, like in my head and in my, I'm battling these moments in my mind, but it's like, fuck man, that's a lot, you know, it's a lot.
What are the feelings like so close to this fight? Do you feel like there's, because of the two losses, that there's extra pressure on you? Is that something you thrive on at this point? Like how are you feeling mentally about it now?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just going in there and proving to myself, man, I work hard. I love this sport. I put fucking my whole entire heart into the sport. And it's just like, for me, it's like, I know what I earned. I know what I deserve. I know where I stand in this division. I think I'm one of the best in this division. And I even think, like, looking back at that Pantoja fight, I'm like, I think I'm more of the skilled fighter. I just think I made some dumb mistakes that it's like, if I don't fix now, then it's going to continue happening, you know? So, I mean, I don't feel like backed up against law really, no. And it's like, I don't give a shit, man. I really don't give a shit. It's just like, I've always been happy. I've always lived a good life, you know. I was happy when I was fucking working overnights, training full-time and stuff too. It's like, if this is my last MMA fight or whatever it is, it's like, who gives a fuck, man? Like, this is the next month of my life, the next chapter of my life could be fucking dope too, you know. So I don't know, I haven't really thought about it like that much pressure wise I just want to go in there and steamroll Bontorin and just kind of show like where I stand in that division too. But it's just like, I don't know, I don't really feel that pressure at all, I guess. No,
I like how you said you're doing this for yourself. Cause I feel like, yeah, you do always did it for yourself, but I feel like the proving to yourself is different this time around. You know what I mean? Like the chaos, it's more of like the controlled chaos. Like if Bontorin comes after you chaotically, you're ready for that, but you're not ready to start crashing cars into him. And that's fine. Like whatever happens to this fight, I feel like mentally, I lost for a second.
Sorry, I just think.
Yeah, it's silly, but I feel like your approach to this fight is different than maybe even like the last four or five fights.
Yeah, for sure. Probably most of my fights. But I feel like somewhere in my head, I got along the lines of just like, I could break people with just cardio, you know? And it's like, and it works. Like it does work, you know, but it's like, that doesn't necessarily need to be how I fight, you know? I go back and watch some of my old fights and I'm just countering people and being smart and then finding the kill, you know? And it's like, I think I had in my head, it's like, I just want to be a killer. I want to get this finish rate. I want to have the highest finish rate in the UFC. I want to have all that. And it's like, how do you do that besides diving head first into it? And it's like, I don't need to be that, you know, I don't need to do that. I just need to go show what I worked on and show that I put a lot of fucking love and work into this martial art sport. And it's like, I want to show everybody. I don't want to show everybody I'm a fucking brawler. You know, I like that part about me. I do like that part about me, but it's like, I also want to show you guys, like I'm a fucking full on MMA fighter, you know?
Look at Sean O'Malley, like his contender series fight I watched the other day. He's a madman. He just goes in there. It's chaos. He's getting hit. He's hitting back. It's a freaking firefight until he actually gets the finish. But now you see like his last few fights, he just stays at range. He picks his shots. And even when he has a guy hurt, he's not rushing into anything. He just picks, he knows when the time's right, lands the big shot and the fight's over. So, I mean, it's a good lesson to learn. Like other fighters have learned that lesson along the way too.
Yeah. And that's a great person to point out specifically, is because like, he's so smart now, just methodically picking people apart, just staying at range. He was probably the main person I've watched as far as this camp, just over and over again on just taking notes and taking stuff away from him, because that kid's so sophisticated, you know, and what he does is all methodical, and it's just great. It's great to watch that.
And I like how you're saying this, you're not putting a lot of pressure on yourself, because I feel like if there's one division where you can lose 2, 3, even 4 in a row and bounce back quickly outside of maybe the heavyweight division, it's this division. It's 125. Yeah. I mean, look at the last time, but like what has transpired from our last conversation, Brandon Moreno, who was not in the UFC like 3 years ago, is the freaking champion of the world, getting ready to fight Davis Figueiredo again. Kai Kara France, who you had a just ball of fire fight with, was slumping. Then he goes out, gets 2 finishes in a row, had no finishes in the UFC. 2 finishes in a row, just knocks out Cody Garbrandt. So I feel like things can flow and change very quickly.
Yeah, my career. Think about my career. It's just, yeah. I was 10, top 5, quick, man. So it's just like, yeah, this, you're right. And like, that's why I don't feel pressure. And I know the bottom of the division is not even close to what the guys I'm facing right now too. It's like, there's some good guys, and I think there's some good guys coming up, and there will be some like real threats out there, but I also know some of the bottom of the division. I'm like, okay, well, it's like I could wipe these dudes out, you know. It's like, that's no issue at all. And it's like, but I'm not fighting them, I'm fighting top 5. So it's like, enjoy this now, but also just know your worth, know that I belong to the UFC and all that shit. And so it's like, I don't really put that like comparison, because I know no matter what, I belong in the UFC. I know my skills belong here, and I think I'm one of the most, not only do I think I'm the best flyweight, but I think I'm one of the most exciting fighters in the UFC in general, man. And it's like the show that I put on and all that stuff is like, I think I put on performances and stuff. And that's really what I want to focus on in this Bontorin fight, is just thinking this fight as an absolute performance. You know, I don't want to think of it as an actual fight. I want to think of it as like performance and a chance to go display something that I've been working on for a long time now, 4 or 5 months work for this fight. And it's like, I work specific stuff for Bontorin, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I want this to be a performance. I want this to be like artistic, you know. I want it to be a Sean O'Malley performance, man. Sean O'Malley puts on a performance and it's artistic, you know, it's beautiful almost, you know? So I want some of that.
So how do you, when you envision this fight playing out, how does it play out? Is this a fit? Do you even think about it? Like how you're going to finish the fight or anything like that? Or it's just, I'm going in there, I'm going to do my thing. Hands getting raised. That's all I see right now.
I think about it all day, man. I think about a million, man. That's all I think about. I mean, I could finish this guy a million different ways. I see his fight playing out a million different ways for sure. And it kind of just plays out on how he comes, you know. If he's coming out super aggressive, then he's going to melt himself. You know, I'm going to whoop his ass quick then, you know. But it's like, I want to pick him apart. I want to be smarter, and I want to gain a little bit of knowledge. I want to gain time in the UFC. Octagon a little bit too, is just gain some knowledge. I want these thoughts to go through my head. I want to listen to my corner, and I want to marinate and change game plans and all the above, you know. I want to show maturity, and I want to gain maturity in there too. Is I want to be a fighter that grows while I'm fighting, you know.
Could we see Brandon Royval get to a third round in a UFC fight?
Yeah, I get to the third round and I'm knocking the fuck out, you know.
I just thought about that. I'm like, I don't think he's seen a third round.
Yeah, I've never
since the Kenny fight, maybe.
Yeah. Any fight I've ever went to a third round in, I've never won. So, who's the LFA champion? Charles Johnson. Yeah, I beat him in a decision. That's the only person I went to decision with and won. So it's like, yeah, third round. If it goes third round, I'm going for a fucking finish for sure. I'm doing everything. So I don't want to. I don't decision, but I just want to fill out a fight a little bit. I don't want to try to finish a fight in the first 10 seconds. You know.
I don't know if I've been more fascinated with one of your fights than this one after having this conversation. I'm very intrigued by how you approach this fight.
Me too.
A very technical Brandon Royval, like an O'Malley-esque version of yourself. Like that's a bad man. That's a dangerous dude.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm very capable of doing shit like that. It's just, I was like, bro, I get in the bell goes off and then I'm like, all right, go, motherfucker. 2 seconds go by, I have not done anything at all this fight. And then, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we'll see if I can manage that. And it'll be interesting, man. I think that's all going to come with a little bit of time. Me finishing these fights and all that stuff is good, but it's like, I need a bit more time to gain. And like these guys, these top 10 fighters have had that, you know? And it's like, I haven't though, you know?
Is it almost good that this fight's at the apex? So then, I mean, there's going to be people in there, obviously like 100 or so. But you get to hear your coaches. So if you get a little crazy, you can hear them be like, yo, Is this smart, or do you, is that something you're happy about, or?
I need to fight in front of a crowd because the way that I'm going, the way that I'm planning on going is I'm going to be fighting in a goddamn championship the first time walking out in front of a crowd. You know what I'm saying? And that's not going to be good. It's like, I want that experience. I want to walk out in front of a crowd as soon as possible. And like, if I go out there and steamroll Bontorine, I think it'd be rightfully so that I would earn the loser of the title fight, right? It's like the Moreno versus Figueiredo, whoever loses that fight, I think that would be the next fight to make, in my opinion. And that should be in front of a crowd. And after that, after I whoop their ass, then I'll go fight for the belt in front of a crowd. And, you know, we'll get used to it. But it's like switching from the apex and then fighting in front of a crowd, I think it's going to be a huge difference, especially for the last 2 years. It's like, I've never walked in front of a crowd. And at this point, I'm fighting top five in the world. So it's getting wild. Do you think it's getting real.
Do you think if Figgy wins, that they'll do it again? Have a fourth fight?
Fuck, probably not, man. That's 2-1, right? Like,
no, it's 1-1.
Oh, is it 1-1?
1-1-1.
If Figgy wins, it'd be 2-1, right?
Depending on how you personally looked at it, but it was a draw, the first fight.
Oh, yeah. I always forget it was a draw, huh? Oh, I count Figgy as winning, right? Because there's a draw because the nut shot. And yeah, I always just count that as a Figgy win. Damn. I hope not, but who cares, man? I need to go win a fight anyways. So I'm not, it doesn't matter to me anyways. It matters for probably the winner of that Kai Car France fight and whatever his name is, Askarov. Yeah. So I'm sure that'll be more important to them. And I got to go win the next fight after that. So I think I got two more wins before we can start talking title shot.
Yeah. In terms of 2022 as a whole, what kind of goals have you sort of set for yourself? Like, I know you don't want to look beyond January 15th, but is there 3 fights, get into the top five again, or like what would ultimately make 2022 a success for you?
Yeah. I think just breaking that top three, man, that'd be great. If I can break in that top three and then earn a title shot so by the end of 2022, I want a title shot. I want someone just winning a title contention fight, or one of those two, you know. I prefer a title shot, but you know, it's not a perfect world. So we'll see. And as far as it goes, more maturity as a man, just more maturity as like not only a man, like as a fighter, but like as a man there too, and just taking these little life lessons as fighting and these little life lessons as life, and just kind of mixing them between each other, you know, and just growing all together. So I think 2022 is just a year of growth for me. For me, it's just like a lot of focus. I think it's a lot of proper focus, I guess, is really what I need.
Fernandez still hanging out at Factory X?
Yeah, me and him are sitting out front of Factory X. We're talking about it because it's like super cold in Colorado, and like even like it's sunny, like it'll be sunny, but it's still freezing outside. It's like we have not been outside sun or outside in general in days. It's just like as soon as you go outside, you're just looking to get inside right off the bat, you know, because it's just cold. So me and him were sitting outside while it was freezing outside today outside the gym, just hanging out, doing nothing. But I don't know, he's so interesting, man. That kid is, I'm so glad that he's a part of our team, because every time he talks, it's just, we all just shut up and listen, you know. So it's cool to have him around.
Yes, he's a very interesting cat, no doubt about that. So I appreciate the time. It's always good catching up with you. I feel like it's almost like an episode of the Joe Rogan Experience when you and I talk. We dive into all these different things about the mental, because I feel like you bring out the fascinate, like the intrigue and like the mental stability of a fighter better than anybody that I could talk to. Like, I feel like you're so open and honest about it.
Yeah. I feel today, it's a cool thing to have Alex around. He's another person that's very vocal about his thoughts and stuff. And like, at least me and him, we spend a lot of time together, so we bounce around each other. And it's like, I don't know, man, balancing these thoughts, and like sometimes it's just so weird. Like, it's just such a weird, like, I don't know. So I'm glad to have you to bounce off to.
Yeah, so I guess I'm the I'm the media therapist here. Whatever I can say. Well, it's always great to catch up with you. Excited to see this fight with Barjira Bontorine, especially with everything you've told me about the preparation and trying to kind of slow things down and the artistry that is Brandon Royval. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Happy New Year, my man, and hopefully you get a victory and you can enjoy an actual Christmas dinner on January 16th.
Great up. Thank you, EAP Glass, my sponsors, man. They made life easy for me, man. The last couple of years have been great, so I can appreciate EAP Glass, the best glass store in Denver. Thank you.
Always great catching up with Brandon Royval, the Raw Dog. I know that's AK's favorite nickname in MMA, my best friend, but what an opportunity he has to get back on track. And I don't know if I've ever been more interested. I mean, Brandon Royval is must-watch TV if you're a fight fan, but seeing him try to calm down the chaos is going to be really, really interesting. I can't wait to see it. I really can't wait to see it coming up next Saturday, January 15th. Of course, that card is headlined by Calvin Kattar taking on Giga Chikadze. Big fight at 145 pounds. Calvin Kattar looking to get back on track. Giga Chikadze could earn himself a title shot if he is victorious over Calvin Kattar. That's going to be a really good fight. And then big thank you to Cheyenne Velizmus. I have no idea what 2022 is going to look like, and I probably know about as much as she does right now. It's just a crazy story. When this is all able to come out, I don't even know if I want to know what's happening. But I mean, it's just wild stuff. This world is crazy. She basically had to like disappear, leave the country, and no one knows where she's at. Life just shouldn't be that way. So hopefully everything can turn out better for her. Hopefully we can see her back in the States. Everything's cool, and hopefully we can see her back doing what she loves to do. That is competing inside the Octagon. So that's it. Thank you for checking out the program. We got a lot going on in the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network now that the holiday season is behind us. If you missed it, the first ranking show of the year is on the network. What a conversation that was had between Sean Alshadi and AK Lee, and then myself and Jed Meshew jumped in to give some rankings predictions, talk about some big names that are no longer in the rankings, and discuss whether or not they could find themselves back in the MMA Fighting rankings. So really good stuff. The Between the Links finale, which has a little bit of a curveball thrown in, going live 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, Jed Meshew taking on AK Lee. Not Phoenix Carnevale, but AK Lee. And a lot of people felt that AK beat Phoenix in the semifinals. She got the nod, but unfortunately the schedule is just a little too crazy for her right now. So AK Lee is going to have the chance to play Daniel Cormier as the alternate and become a champion. I mean, this is the stuff that sports dreams are made of right here. So very excited for that. And next week, back at it with preview shows and post-fight shows and all sorts of craziness. So get excited, MMA fans. But until then, everybody, thank you for checking out the show once again. I am Mike Heck. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you back here next week on... Oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot. I teased this at the beginning. Big Tune is going to be on the show next week. Ben Parrish, back in the Bellator cage January 29th. We'll also talk to Saeed Yakub Kakramanov, who's getting ready to fight Brian Kelleher next Saturday as well. So the return of Big Tune on the show. But that's next week. We'll see you then on We Got Next.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.